So just a few words. I don't know how many of you have already used starting over as a part of your daily practice and daily living, but we'd like to encourage you to do so or to continue to do so. As we're going through a change or transition, we will need to start over a lot of times. We get confused, we lose track of what we want to do or mean to do. And sometimes the unexpected happens and we are thrown off balance. These are good times to just start over. Starting over is the willingness to come back to your intention, no matter what. So don't let judging mine or fixing mine or comparing mine directed toward yourself and others interfere. Just start over. Be patient with yourself and be persistent. Okay. So, I hope lunch was good. How many of you have had a chance to take a look at the assessment? Okay. Any thoughts or reflections about the assessment or anything else we talked about this morning? Just sort of a field from the a report from the field. Yes. We need the mic. We need to. Those of you online, if you have thoughts, please feel free to raise your hands.
I noticed that that it was very easy for me to think of situations where I hadn't handled change super effectively or skillfully, and it was much more difficult for me to like come up with situations where I had handled a change skillfully.
Do you have thoughts about that?
I guess probably in most changes, like there are certain ways I handle it skillfully and certain ways I handle it unskillfully, but you know, it's more difficult to like to recognize the areas that you did well, at least for me. It's easier to kind of pick out where I think I need to do better.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Nina? Or are you going to come up? Okay. And then Nina?
A comment and question about teaching this morning about the catalyst. Mm-hmm. I really struggled with that teaching. Felt a lot of resistance to it. And maybe you can clarify. I think it was feeling to me constraining, like trying to put a cause of change as like A happened and then all B happened. That felt just like limiting to perspective, context. And then I think your example about Gaza, I think felt to me like it brought up some of the harm that can come up in doing that. Which I don't think was what you intended, but like in that example where like the erasure of the conditions before October 7th and then framing that as a catalyst has been weaponized to enable and justify murdering hundreds of thousands of people, and the horrible conditions that have gone on, that like I feel a kind of vigilance about framing things in that simple, like, here is this catalyst. Like, it feels dangerous to me, and I feel kind of I think even in an embodied way, I feel kind of constrained approaching it like that. I think like that's the global big example, but I can kind of think of it similarly, like if I'm framing like this happened in my life and I'm closing myself off to the context of it or other perspectives, that feels really constraining in how I might choose to respond. So curious your thoughts on that.
I can understand and appreciate your perspective and how you feel. My intention was not to set limits or cause harm. As I listen to you, I'm just reminded that change is ongoing. You know, life is ongoing. So there is never just one cause. It's sort of a ripple effect. And I think you're right. I mean, the history of that region goes way, way back. And nothing that happens now can adequately describe the complexity of that situation. And I didn't mean to do that. Yeah.
On your part.
Yeah.
Others have felt that way, so it felt like a sensitive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I appreciate your speaking up. You want to give to, is it Leah?
It's Leah.
Okay. And then maybe Nina?
I just wanted to say, I think, Sean, this morning you talked about really breaking change down into a lot of elements and principles and really, you know, cracked it open, kind of. And the sort of aha for me in your talking about that and then also giving the example of the dog, as well as Marilyn's example of your job change some years ago. And what it did for me that's, I think, is and will be really helpful is the idea that change is not this monolithic thing. You know, like, I got fired or somebody got elected or whatever. But it's, and it, a little bit riffing off what this person just said in a kind of, and in kind of the same way, it's complex and it's ongoing, but even any one change is, by breaking it down into those principles and elements and things, I think it's going to be a lot easier for me to be, among other things, a lot less scared about change and therefore maybe a little more skillful.
Great.
Thank you.
So, Nina,
okay.
I don't see anyone online. We don't want to forget you guys online.
Hi. I want to thank you for this. For this morning and naming different parts of change. I never thought of the different catalysts in that context. And that was very helpful. And as far as the assessment, in opposite of this young man here, it took me a while to think of the times that I did not skillfully deal with change. Not that I thought that I, or that I think that I always did, but it took me a while to really investigate within myself, you know, the times that I did not skillfully deal with change. So it was good for me to do that investigation. And I guess what I did put down was that I often don't respond skillfully to certain disruptions, I put. And yeah. So, and one of the things that I wanted to say was a difficult or challenge is, you know, is to also, in dealing with change, is not procrastinating and coming up with a way to respond skillfully and in a timely manner. So, and that's one of the capacities that I want to develop. Thanks.
Thank you. Well, how many of you think it's easier to identify what changes you've had difficulty doing? That's a common one. The others of you, are you thinking you can perceive more easily what you do well? Yeah. So it just depends. Judith.
Yeah. I think that overall I deal better with change when it actually happens than I do when I'm anticipating change. You know, it's like somehow I'm in, when something actually happens, I'm in the moment with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fretting about it or wondering if it's going to happen or, oh my God, is, you know, then that's not very skillful, obviously. So I guess it's a good testimony to actually being in the moment, right?
Well, you're right. It's, you can only respond in a present moment, you know. The future is the future.
Right.
Okay. Great observation. Okay. Let's move on. I think the other thing I got out of these responses is, you know, we're going to respond to these ideas very differently based on your perception of what's going on, both not only here, but beyond these four walls, and that's normal. Feel free to just take what is helpful to you and move on. I will admit that in training, I think you can attest to, there at the very beginning, I was an unhappy camper. But I made it. So, you know, with time and reflection, who knows what's going to happen. Now, I have the pleasure of doing another three something. I did three catalysts for change. Now I'm doing three aspects of life balance. I hope I don't present this in too constraining a way, but this is how I understand things, okay? At least at this moment. Okay, so there are three aspects of life balance. But what is life balance? What does being or living in a state of balance mean? Okay. It took a while for me to even get this far. But what I've been able to understand is that you can't look at balance as if it's just one thing, things even out, or they're the same. Balance is multidimensional. That's why there are three aspects. So I'm going to suggest first that you think of balance in three ways. I'm using an analogy or a simile. Okay? So think of balance, life balance, in terms of a balanced diet. or a realistic, balanced assessment of a situation. Or, I probably should say, and calm, mindful, balanced response to a crisis. Your response to these types of situations are responses are going to be very different from anybody else in the room, because a balanced life for you is going to be unique to you. Okay? In all three of these aspects. So I'm going to play with this analogy first and then get to life balance. So, a balanced life is like a balanced diet. Okay? A balanced diet includes a variety of foods from the following groups: lean proteins, fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, whole grains, legumes, and nuts. But that's not all. The actual quantity of these foods and even types of these foods depend on other factors. One factor is age. Is the person a child or an adult? A balanced diet will look different between the two. The other factor is the level of activity. Does the person live an active life, or is the person sort of a couch potato? A balanced diet looks different. Health conditions may also influence one's understanding of a balanced diet. For many people, eating whole wheat is not a problem. But for people who are gluten intolerant, they can't eat that product without what, getting sick or something. So that product is not a part of their balanced diet. So with this really simplified description of a balanced diet, I want us to shift to thinking about a balanced life. One aspect of a balanced life. A balanced life includes or encompasses many areas. The psychological, your psychological well-being, your spiritual well-being, work and career, hobbies, your finances, your family life, your friendships, creativity, just to name a few. A human life, our life, encompasses multiple areas, not just one or two or three. A balanced life is one in which these different areas of one's life are coordinated in a way that a person experiences satisfaction in each area. And this satisfaction is in terms of the quality of the experience or the enjoyment of the experience and the amount of time spent in that particular area. Stated another way, the first aspect of a balanced life is a function of two factors: quality or enjoyment of one's experience in multiple areas, the multiple areas of one life, and how one feels about the amount of time they spend engaged in each area. Okay, so here's an example. And to keep this example simple, I'm not going to go through all the areas of one's life. In life balance, we have a tool, two tools to help people assess the balance of their life and how content or they are with the balance of their lives. That tool has like 16 areas. I'm going to use three. They are personal time, work time, and finances. So in terms of personal time, let's say person A loves playing his guitar, and he spends a couple of hours a week playing this guitar. In terms of his work life, he spends 60 hours a week doing the work he loves. He really loves it. And in terms of finances, this person's finances, at least he feels his finances are in great shape. He pays his bills on time. He has sufficient reserves or savings to meet almost any common emergency. And his funding retirement funding, from his perspective, is on target. He's extremely happy with his financial situation. So we have three areas. Is his life balanced? How many of you, even those of you online, think his life is balanced? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you, okay, how many of you don't know? Okay. Do you have a sense of why you don't know? Anyone? Yes. Cuba?
Thanks. My first thought was there's no social time. And then I remembered something you said, which is for them. So he could get that social time at work. So then I thought, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, you're correct. I didn't mention social time, but I tried to constrain a full life to three areas: personal time, work time, and finances. So just for those areas, imagine that's all there is to life. Those three areas. Is his life balanced? Yes? Okay. Others of you still don't know? Yes? I don't want to go too far in this.
Oh, then go
ahead. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. If I start taking responses, I'll go too long. The fact is, this is a trick question. You really don't know. Okay? The reason you don't know is you don't have, well, in two of the areas, there's no information about how he feels about the amount of time he spends doing them. The guy loves the guitar, very satisfied, and he spends 2 hours a week doing it. But what if I said he would love to spend more time? That's very different than he is satisfied with the amount of time. In the other scenario, the guy is working 60 hours a week, and what did I say? He's working 60 hours a week, and he loves his job. Okay? You don't know how he feels about working 60 hours a week. If I said he hopes that his boss notices his efforts and considers him for a promotion, does that edge him toward balance? Because he's doing it because he wants a promotion. But if I said he wants to spend more time with his family, even though he likes the work, he doesn't want to work that long. That goes toward imbalance, correct? Okay. I don't know if this makes sense, but I'll tell you what my main takeaway is. Is that in terms of this aspect of life balance, when we have a balanced life, all the different aspects of our lives, when all the different aspects of our lives are in balance, we are very clear about what's important to us, and we know and devote the amount of time we want to do it. So you can be very happy with your job and work too much, right? Or you can be very happy with your hobbies and not be spending enough time on it. Does that make sense as the first aspect of balanced life or life balance? So let me try the second one. The second aspect is like, think of it as like a realistic balance assessment of a situation, including yourself and other people. Okay? One could call this right view or right perspective. Here, balanced life involves interpretation of what is happening. Misinterpretation of reality can lead to imbalance because you end up making poor decisions or taking wrong actions. One example is if you're overly focused on the negative. Let's say overly focused on the negative about a close relationship. You make decisions about that relationship that may not actually be in your best interest or skillful. The same is true if you're overly optimistic about something. Again, you're making decisions that are contrary to a more realistic view. And these decisions keep you off balance. Other kinds of unrealistic view are poor self-esteem. If you'd have poor self-esteem, you don't even try to do some things that may be something of interest to you. Or if you're a perfectionist, you don't even try to do something because you have an imaginary standard that you can't reach. So a balanced life includes a balanced view of what is going on and being able to make decisions based on the view. Okay? And here's the third one. This one is about maintaining an inner balance when everything around you is a mess. Okay? There's an inner balance that keeps you calm and helps you make decisions. When I first thought about this, I thought about equanimity. You know, no matter what happens, you're not fazed. You can make decisions, okay? But in terms of this model, what keeps you calm, one of the key things that keeps you calm is an awareness of what your values are, what's important to you. And grounding yourself in what's important to you so that you make skillful decisions based on that and not reactive decisions. This morning I shared with you the role values made in my decision to switch jobs. Okay? Getting fired was unbalancing. How did I ground myself? Multiple ways. I realized that I probably couldn't get the job that I thought I wanted. And then I realized I didn't want that kind of job. In fact, I wanted more free time. And it was really important to me, a value, that I had more time to enjoy life and continue to make a contribution to my community the way I've always been. That is right balance. It didn't matter what was happening out there. Now, I will say, I'm aware that the world is always, but it feels even more so now, pretty chaotic. And it's throwing people for a loop. What I just said in terms of maintaining your balance will not change the status of what's happening in the world. But it can change your life, the way you manage your life. And that is about life balance. So I guess that's it. What's next? Oh, what's next is a poem. This poem is called The Journey by Mary Oliver. One day you finally knew what you had to do and began, though the voices around you kept shouting their bad advice, though the whole house began to tremble and you felt the old tug at your ankles, mend my life, each voice cried. But you didn't stop. You knew what you had to do, though the wind pried with its stiff fingers at the very foundations, though their melancholy was terrible, it was already late enough in a wild night and the road full of fallen branches and stones. But little by little, as you left their voices behind, the stars began to burn through the sheets of clouds, and there was a new voice, which you slowly recognized as your own, that kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do determine to save the only life you could save.